You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to tonight's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, the Political Cesspool Radio Program, an award-winning talk radio show here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Saturday evening, June 27th. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander still with me. Want to thank the great Jared Taylor and Sean Bergen for their contributions to tonight's program, as well as Scoop Stanton. Now is the time, as I said earlier, for the courageous to be separated from the cowardly. We do not run when the shooting starts. Rather, we ride to the sound of the guns. We will not back down. We are going to attempt to shoulder the load until God himself calls us home. And as the great Confederate General Robert E. Lee once said, duty is the most sublime word in our language. Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more. You should never wish to do less. Ladies and gentlemen, this voice, our program, is needed now more than ever before in light of the events of the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks with the Supreme Court, the way the Obama administration and the media has been exploiting the deaths in Charleston to advance their anti-white, anti-Christian political agenda. I'll tell you the truth. I have faults. I am not perfect, but I will tell you this. I will never sell you out. I will never back down. I will never run from our beliefs. Even if I'm the last one to wave the Confederate flag, if I'm the last member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, so be it. I'm proud of both of those things. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. We've been spread thin this week. I've been trying to battle back via the media. We've had a lot of interest in our show this week. I've been spread thin. I have been spread too thin to even properly tend to the administration of our second quarter fundraising drive. If you've not yet donated this month, and I do want to say, the support this week has been tremendous. I think a lot of you realize that we're out there doing a courageous work, and we appreciate the support we've received this week. It's been generous. But finally, before I toss it over to Keith to introduce our guest, if you've not yet contributed this month, please rectify that by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org. And remember, the last half of the show tonight, the last hour and a half, we're going to be talking about the Confederate flag and why we defend it and love it so much. We've been talking about Charleston now for 4 hours, 3 hours last week, the first hour tonight. We're going to break for a minute and chase a completely different rabbit before recircling and talking about the honorable flag of the South. Keith, go.
Well, first of all, let me say, as James said, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. The political cesspool is the one lonely outpost of sanity in the entire news media now when it comes to issues like the Charleston shooting. We need your support. Now, this is also an opportunity. We're going to shift gears for a moment. F. Roger Devlin is a frequent guest on our show. He is a very scholarly and top-notch commentator on a whole variety of issues. He writes for the Occidental Observer, the Occidental Quarterly. He has posted articles on a website called The Last Ditch. And he has gained a considerable amount of acclaim and notoriety in what is called loosely the manosphere. In other words, male issues, male-female issues taken from a modern perspective. He has finally put all of his writings on this subject together in a book. We've been waiting for this book for years now, and it has finally come down the pike. Roger, tell us all about this new book that you have published.
That's right, Keith. I think I've promised it on your show, you know, before, like 2 years ago. I was saying it would come out within 6 months or something like that. But the publishing world is full of delays. But now it is available for you to order. It contains 7 essays with a new preface and a new introduction, all on the subject of men-women issues. It's called Sexual Utopia in Power, The Feminist Revolt Against Civilization, and it's published by Countercurrents Publishing in San Francisco.
Tell us about the picture on the front cover. That's very interesting.
Yes.
Tell me.
I was very pleased with this picture. I didn't choose it myself, but I like it. It's Judith with the head of Holofernes. So, get your Apocrypha out if you want to read about Judas or a Catholic Bible. It's a wonderful story, and it's a good emblem for my work here. What's unusual? I describe my book as an unorthodox defense of orthodoxy, because in effect, what I'm arguing for is a return to Christian marriage. But I don't argue by any appeal to tradition or religion. I argue from observation and from science and reasoning. And some of the things that I argue will be very surprising to people who've grown up on conservative journalism. For example, there is not more sex available to men since the sexual revolution than there was before it. That women are not naturally monogamous. That the sex scene on college campuses and in the larger society today is not promiscuous. It's not a free-for-all. It follows a rather clear pattern, and I explain what that is. And I also argue that our problems cannot be solved by men entirely. A lot of conservative writers speak as if men would only stop...
Straighten up and fly right.
And marry the women, that the problems would go away, which is a way...
That's been a big problem.
...from women. Yes.
Right. I was going to say, basically, the message that I got from reading it is that women, contrary to popular belief, are carnal creatures just like men.
Yes.
Men
yes.
own up to their carnality.
Yes.
Women typically haven't, and there is a whole, all of culture supports them in thinking
right.
that they are superior, better, more moral, purer people
mm-hmm.
than the men. Men will tell you that, you know, if they are not constrained by religion or ethics, we're little hoe bags, right?
Yeah.
Women are carnal also. Their carnality is different.
Yes.
Based on what you've written, let me sum it up this way. Men are naturally polygamous. Women aren't naturally polygamous. They're naturally hypergamous. Explain
right.
that to our audience.
Exactly. Well, we all know what polygamy is. Hypergamy is the desire to mate up. It's to mate only with the most attractive man, which in a woman's term means the highest status man, usually, or a man with a large amount of resources, which is not the same thing as monogamy. What you get when monogamy, socially enforced monogamy, breaks down is women throwing themselves at a few men at the top of the heap, the most attractive men. And so these men are enabled to become very promiscuous. But there isn't more sex available to men as a whole. In fact, to men, average men, there's actually less. It's harder to get a woman than under the system of monogamy. Monogamy is essentially a compromise between the man's tendency to polygamy and the woman's tendency to hypergamy.
Right. Well, we'll get into this in more detail and depth after these words from our sponsors.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards, Keith Alexander here. Roger Devlin, our guest this hour. He is on to promote his newest book, Sexual Utopia in Power. You can get it on Amazon.com in addition to other places as well.
And Countercurrents is another place.
And we'll let Roger give all that information out. I just want to remind the audience, before I toss it back to Keith and Roger, that coming up after this segment, we're going to transition into our defense of the Confederate flag, and it's going to rival the best of the best of anything we have ever done during our Confederate History Month celebrations each year, year after year. Tonight, we are passionate. It will be unbridled, but well-reasoned. And so if you tuned in tonight to hear our defense of the Confederate flag in response to the assault it is enduring, it's coming up. Stay tuned. Keith, to you and Roger.
Okay, Roger, getting back to Sexual Utopian Power, that's the signature essay, the longest one, really your masterwork on the subject.
Yeah.
Basically, your message is that men and women are both carnal, both
right,
have been
right.
unmoored from ethics by leftist liberal developments like the sexual revolution, like feminism, and men are naturally polygamous.
Mm-hmm.
Women, however, are not naturally monogamous, at least in any accepted Christian or religious way. They are naturally
Correct.
Hypergamous.
Correct.
And that's, we're both men and women are just responding to the way God made us, or the way that nature governs our lives. Explain that to us, please.
Yes, well, women are responsible for 2/3 of divorces, and in fact, it may be rather higher than 2/3, most often in the fourth year of marriage. And you can see how women tend to behave by looking at the extreme cases of movie stars like Liz Taylor and Zsa Zsa Gabor, who go through 8 men in their lives. That's a, you know, an extreme case, but those are women who are very unconstrained because they're so wealthy. And you know,
well, see, I remember in the 50s, Roger, that all after-dinner speakers in the 50s always had a built-in punchline that they used. They said, they would start off their speech by saying, as Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband, I won't keep you long.
Yes, right. So, anyway, the book has 7 essays. published all over the last several years. And if you don't want to get it on Amazon, I understand they're pulling their Confederate flag merchandise now. You can get it from Barnes & Noble or directly from Countercurrents. On Barnes & Noble, you can get the ebook for the amazingly low price of $3.49. Or you can invest in paperback for $20.
This is a book that every man ought to have. In fact, I may even take a copy of this to the local divorce lawyer firm that specializes in representing men. It's called Cordell & Cordell. I think they're nationwide. But what I was pointing out about the way nature made us is gametes. Tell our audience about gametes and how they kind of predetermine male and female carnality.
Well, gametes are just a biologist's term for the sex cell, sperm and egg. And the way biologists actually define male and female is by gamete production. If you find a strange creature at the bottom of the sea, and you want to know whether it's male or female, you look at which kind produces the most gametes, the most sex cells, and that is said to be the male. Men produce millions of sperm, produce it constantly. A woman produces 400 eggs in the course of her entire life.
Between puberty and menopause.
Right. Right, and a man does that in about an hour or half an hour or something like that.
Well, more than that, I think what I read, if I recall right, in your book is that men create 12 million sperm cells per hour and recycle the entire bunch every 3 days. So we're vastly oversupplied with something that women have a very limited supply of.
Correct.
That's why women are seeking to mate with the best, and men are making a play for everything in skirts, right?
Correct, correct. Women are the supply and men constitute the demand when it comes to sex. And this is why, traditionally, monogamy was guarded, especially by inculcating sexual self-control in young women especially. It made sense because when you go after something, you go after the supply side, not the demand side. And women, you know, the feminists complain about this being a double standard, but it's really just common sense. And it's if you want to restore monogamy, you also have to look especially at the behavior of women rather than that of men. This is something that a lot of conservatives don't want to admit because they think it makes they don't want to make women look bad. They don't want to criticize women, but. Our ancestors
and knuckleheads like Bill McCartney, who is the progenitor of this Promise Keepers program that was so popular about 10 years ago.
Yes,
basically took the position that we have to talk with men and men exclusively about strengthening the marriage. Like women are not a source of problem at all.
Right. Yeah.
When actually, it's the women's behavior that's changed more than the men due to the rise of feminism and the rise of the sexual revolution.
That's correct.
Two left-wing projects.
And if you want to read about that, that's what my book's for.
Well, the book is excellent. Tell us about these, I think you said seven different essays are in here.
Yes, yeah,
of course,
essays.
The granddaddy is Sexual Utopian Power, but tell us about the rest of them.
Oh, a couple of them appeared in Occidental Quarterly. A couple of them are actually book reviews of important works like Steve Baskerville. I think he's been a guest on the cesspool talking about the divorce regime. I talk about the economic side of marriage. I talk about, I have one chapter on Africa, on how feminism leads to a mating pattern that resembles what's found in West Africa. And I have an essay on female masochisms. And I'd also like to mention to any listeners who are in the Northeast Corridor, I'm going to be making some appearances, some talks and book signings. If you're anywhere in the New York or Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. area and you're interested in attending, contact Countercurrents. Contact the editor at Countercurrents. The events are going to be taking place in July and August. I'd be very interested in meeting any cesspool listeners out there.
Well, let me tell you, if you want cutting edge, fresh, incisive, intelligent commentary on male-female relations in the 21st century, Roger Devlin is your go-to guy. I can tell you that. Roger, it's always great to have you on the show. And we have home economics is one of your big essays. Another is the feminine sexual counter-revolution and its limits. And then rotating polyandry and its enforcers. That's the one with the Baskerville part.
Mm-hmm. Back
and
to
the
Africa.
Question of... Back to Africa, the question of female masochism.
So the question is, I think, Roger, obviously a lot of stuff in the book that would be of interest to our audience. Where can people get it? We want to make sure that that's reiterated one more time. How can people get this book?
You get it. You can get it at Amazon if you don't mind shopping with them, or you can get it at Barnes & Noble, or just contact Countercurrents, although they do not have the Kindle version. They only have the soft cover and hard cover. But you can.
I would recommend that people not go to Amazon since they are one of the people refusing to sell the Confederate flag.
Yeah,
we'll get into that more in the next segment.
I'm totally 100% with you on that issue. Keep the battle flag flying, guys.
Hey, thank you so much, Roger. Always a pleasure to have you on. F. Roger Devlin's his name. The book is Sexual Utopia and Power. You heard where you can get it. We encourage you to do so. When we come back, the aforementioned Confederate battle flag, we are going to defend it proudly. We are going to advance St. Andrew's Cross, right after this. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
There seems to be a problem here. I'm channel surfing on the telly, searching for the real news, but blimey, the American cable networks all seem to be reporting the same news. That's when I stumbled upon DailyKen.com. DailyKen.com sniffs out the news stories the others overlook. DailyKen.com doesn't try to be politically correct. Rather, DailyKen.com works hard to find stories ignored by the mainstream media. DailyKen.com adds commentary, insights, and sometimes a touch of humor. Well, there you have it. DailyKen.com. No more cable news networks for me.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh, wanna be by myself.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, another one of the many victims this week, ladies and gentlemen, has been that symbol of nobility that for decades has proudly flown over the Capitol grounds in Columbia, South Carolina. I am, of course, talking about the Confederate flag. My flag, the flag of my family, that is the flag that I most identify with. With the 4th of July coming up, I will tell you this, I love my people, but I will not fly an American flag on the 4th of July at my house. No, sir. Now, there was a movie that came out about, 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember the exact year. It was the early 2000s. It was a movie by the name of Gods and Generals, and it was a movie that very objectively portrayed the causes of the Second War for Independence. And if you'll remember, just a few years ago, Warner Brothers reached out to the political cesspool to help them promote the re-release of Gods and Generals that was being re-released for the 150th anniversary of the onset of the war between the states. And so, you know, it's really been amazing, our story. Whenever I get down to write the biography or my memoirs of all of the experiences I had in the political cesspool, working with Warner Brothers, certainly not a friend of our people or a friend of mine, but to work with them to promote the re-release of Gods and Generals, will certainly be mentioned. Well, we're going to play some clips from that movie. Now, I know it's a movie, and these aren't the real heroes speaking, but they did a lot of great research when making that movie. And it's a very accurate dramatization. And so the first clip I'm going to play you before I get into my defense of the flag and why it's so important to me is an encounter between General Stonewall Jackson, General Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, and Jeb Stuart, on why the war was being fought. Let's play that clip now.
You'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Let's turn the volume up if we can.
Lieutenant Colonel Stewart reporting for duty, sir.
Colonel Stewart.
That's an impeccable hat, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart, use tobacco?
No, sir. Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much. Sit down. Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54.
Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche.
Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we will be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy. Infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And, Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy, but trot away.
Trot.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That, in the words of Stonewall Jackson, was why the war was fought. And he was absolutely correct about what would happen if the Union prevailed. It would be the triumph of the banks, of commerce, of the factories, the end of responsible government on this continent. It would be the prelude to anarchy if the violators of our homes and firesides were victorious. He was never proven more right than he has been in the last 3 weeks with these Supreme Court decisions. And when I defend the Confederate flag, I defend it because it is a symbol of heroism, of valor, of gallantry, a willingness for men to fight against all odds, a resistance to tyranny. It is my family. It is a Christian flag. It is a Christian symbol. That is modeled after the cross of St. Andrews, the patron saint of Scotland, where so many of our ancestors in the South settled from. It is a Christian symbol. That is why they hate it. They hate everything it stands for. That flag didn't fly over slave quarters, as Pat Buchanan wrote this week. It flew over battlefields, and they were men who had a willingness to fight, and it's what happened to the people that used to produce men like that, I don't know. But I will tell you this, and I received this from a regular listener, Bill, in Kentucky. All of these modern-day conservatives, so-called conservatives, these Republicans waving the white flag, they're outdoing themselves to get rid of the Confederate flag in an attempt to make the left like them. Mainstream conservatives really, really think that if they keep trying hard enough, they'll eventually placate the minorities and the left. It cannot be done. And let me tell you something. Right there in Charleston, South Carolina, you have the crew of the H.L. Hunley submarine. Men who got into a submarine. It was the first naval submarine that sunk an enemy ship in the history of naval warfare. The Confederates invented submarine warfare. They had died. The entire crew of the Hunley had died on two or three occasions in advance of the successful sinking of the USS Housatonic. The crew of the Hunley, the third crew led by Lieutenant George Dixon, they sunk the Housatonic in Charleston Harbor, the first time a submarine had ever sunk another vessel. They drown right after. The previous crews had drowned in training. Those men got into that ship. You think they got into that ship to preserve slavery? Nobody can be that foolish, ladies and gentlemen. I sent a book out last week, or last fundraising drive, to the people who donated. One of the Confederate privates were in prison, I believe, and they quoted him. They asked, "Why are you fighting us?" And he answered, "Because y'all are down here." The South had a right to self-determination. The South had a right to secede. The South had a right to defend itself. You know, the first prerequisite of a nation is to have a culture different from that of your surroundings. The South still has that today. That's the first prerequisite of a nation. The South wanted out. The North invaded, launched civil war against the South for doing what they felt as though was their God-given right, a right that their ancestors took for themselves with the crown in England not too long before. But you look at the people like the crew of the Hunley, the detractors, those craven cowards like Rick Santorum and Nikki Haley and Bob Corker and Lamar Alexander, they are incapable of that amount of bravery. The most unheralded, unknown Confederate private was more honorable than any United States congressman or senator, certainly the president. They are these people who are attacking the Confederate flag this week in the wake of what happened in Charleston are beneath the Confederates in every possible way. Virginia seceded rather than to provide soldiers or militia to participate in a war on their brothers. What did you expect them to do? North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, they followed Virginia out over that issue. They would not be party to a war on their family. In the first inaugural, Lincoln sought to appease the states that had seceded by endorsing a constitutional amendment. Are you hearing me, ladies and gentlemen? This is not anything that's reported. It's a fact. Lincoln sought to appease the states that had seceded by endorsing a constitutional amendment to make slavery permanent in the 15 states where it then existed. He even offered to help the southern states run down fugitive slaves. If you think that the war was all about slavery, don't you think the South would have accepted that offer? Why didn't they? If they were only interested in preserving slavery, which was on its way out all across the Western world, it would have ended in the South soon, regardless of who won the war. Don't you think they would have taken that deal if that was all it was about? It's lies from the pit of hell. They hate the South because they hate Christians. They hate the South because they hate white people. This is a symbol of white identity. It is a symbol of independence and men and people willing to stand up for something they believe. Everything they hate, everything they are incapable of, that is what the Confederate flag stands for. And by God, I'll wave it until if I'm the last one waving the Confederate flag, it'll wave in my hands. I'm going to wave it on the 4th of July. I'm going to wave it on the 5th of July. I'm going to wave it every day. That's my flag, and we're going to talk more about it right after this. You want to talk about people who sacrifice something? Listen to what Robert E. Lee sacrificed. We're going to play that after the break.
On the Liberty News Radio Network.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I took my daughter, my wife, my daughter, and our infant son to a movie today. We all went to see a family movie before the show, before I had to come into work tonight. And then after we left the movie theater, I swung by to my parents' house And as God is my witness, as I pulled into the driveway, my dad was planting a Confederate flag in his front yard. And it was the same flag that flew at my wedding, in the backyard at my wedding, behind the altar. It was that same flag. It's been in the barn since 2006 when I got married, and it's back in the yard today, in the front yard, that is. So, I you know, certainly I have benefited from having an upbringing that taught me to honor my ancestors and not to hate myself and not to hate my family. But talking about these limp-wristed, despicable politicians today who are selling out their family. If you are a member of the United States Senate or the United States Congress and you're from the South, you're spitting on the graves of your ancestors to roll over to placate this horde that have no understanding whatsoever about what the Confederate flag was about. We know it wasn't about preserving slavery. I think we established that in the last segment. But you're also denigrating the memory and the legacy of people who were far greater than you could ever hope to be. And certainly one of those was Robert E. Lee, probably the most Christ-like man to ever walk the earth other than Christ himself. I think he was a Christ-like figure by every standard of measurement. He was offered command of the entire Union Army. Can you imagine one of these politicians today, these sociopaths who are only interested in advancing themselves, can you imagine them turning down an opportunity to lead something as powerful as the Union Army to go and fight for a cause that was almost certain to lose? No, that was a man of integrity. And, you know, these clips from Gods and Generals that we're going to be featuring tonight are based on historical records. So now we're going to play the clip of Robert E. Lee turning down command of the Union Army. And in this movie, Robert E. Lee is portrayed by the great Robert Duvall, who is a descendant of Robert E. Lee. Let's listen to it now.
Allow me to get to the point, sir. I have been authorized by President Lincoln himself, with the full blessing of the War Department, to offer you full command of the Army with the rank of Major General, this Army being raised to quell this rebellion and, of course, to preserve the Union.
I assume this Army is to be used to invade those areas to eliminate the rebellion by force.
Yes, sir. The federal government has been challenged by these rebels, who have been most effective in changing the sentiments of various state legislatures, challenging our constitution and challenging our central government. The attack on Fort Sumter cannot be ignored.
General, my home is right there across the Potomac, where you can see Arlington House from your front door. My family is spread all over this part of Virginia. If you invade the South, your enemy territory will be there, right across that river.
Well, sir, there is no great outcry for secession in Virginia. It's not a foregone conclusion that Virginia or Tennessee, Arkansas, or Kentucky will join the rebellion.
My friend, may I humbly submit that you're mistaken about Virginia. As you know, the legislature is convening in Richmond this very day to discuss the very issue of secession. Now, perhaps you know their mind better than they themselves. And I regret to say the president's hasty calling up of 75,000 volunteers to subdue the rebellion in the cotton states has done nothing to ameliorate the crisis. It has only deepened it.
I trust you're not being too hasty yourself, Colonel. This is a great opportunity for you to serve your country.
My country, Mr. Blair. I never thought I'd live to see the day that a president of the United States would raise an army to invade his own country. No, Mr. Blair, I cannot lead it. I will not lead it.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, sir. I fear you're making a most dreadful mistake.
Would you please convey my deepest sense of honor and gratitude to the president, but I must decline his offer. Please tell him, please be clear, I have never taken my duties lightly, but I have no greater duty than to my home, to Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert E. Lee is a hero by any standard of measurement. What a man, a Christian. In 1862, and we're going to take a caller from Alabama, but in 1862, Abraham Lincoln wrote Horace Greeley that if he could restore the Union without freeing one slave, he would do it. The Emancipation Proclamation freed only those slaves Lincoln had no power to free, those still under Confederate rule. As for slaves in the Union states, they remained property of their owners. And as for terrorists, we've heard a lot of these disgusting people referring to the Confederates as terrorists. No army fought more honorable than Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. Few serious scholars deny that. The great terrorist in that war was William Tecumseh Sherman, who violated all known rules of war by looting, burning, and pillaging on his infamous march to the sea from Atlanta to Savannah. So why now are the Confederates being so vilified? Because they were Southern white Christian men. And you look at the sacrifice, the honor of people like Robert E. Lee turning down command of the Union Army to go and fight for his family, fight for Virginia. Nathan Bedford Forrest, who is underseas, they want to dig up his bones and throw him away here in Memphis. They want to dig him up, desecrate his grave like some ISIS terrorist. Nathan Bedford Forrest had no education, yet he rose to become a self-made millionaire. And then despite that heroic accomplishment, he then donated the majority of his wealth to field the Confederate infantry, and then without any military training, enlisted as a soldier, a private of the lowest rank, despite being exempt from service because of his standing as a major planter. And then, with no military training, rose from private to lieutenant general, one of the greatest tacticians in the history of mobile warfare. His strategy is still studied by militaries today. These men are heroes. These men are heroes. That flag is a heroic symbol. And if you don't know that, then I pity you. Let's go to Ben in Alabama. Ben, take it away.
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
We're fighting, my friend. We're fighting.
Well, hey, man, we're trying to fight here in Alabama, too. I'd just like to say that in the last 2 days, I have never seen a better display of Southern pride in my entire life. I'm a young man. I'm 23 years old. And I went to a flea market today in North Alabama that's close to my house, and I tried to purchase a Confederate flag, and usually there is, you know, an abundance there. You can find them all over the place, and they were totally sold out. People had came up and showed up at 5:30 in the morning and just bought them up. I mean, it was amazing. I was very proud. I was disappointed because I didn't get to buy one, but I was proud that they're out there and they're flying, so...
Hey, Ben, that's a great point. You know, obviously the Confederate flag is being taken down from the grounds in Columbia, Amazon, all of these, you know, American corporations, the same corporations that Stonewall Jackson said in that clip earlier would take over the country and help ruin the country. You know, they're all getting rid of any Confederate logo. But I talked to a major flag manufacturer, a major flag distributor just last night. It was about midnight. I have not slept this week at all. Maybe a night's worth the entire week spread out because I have been fighting in defense of our people, of our symbols, of our heroes, of our families.
You fight for all of us.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. But just to echo what you pointed out, this major flag seller said that he is completely sold out of Confederate flags, and every distributor that he knows has sold out of Confederate flags. You cannot – it was even on the news here in Memphis that the local retailers are sold out of Confederate flags. Not that they threw them away. They sold out. You cannot buy a Confederate flag, to my knowledge, anywhere in the country tonight, not because they're being discarded, but because they have sold out. That is encouraging, and I appreciate you bringing that up. That was a point I wanted to make. It may have slipped my mind. We're so busy tonight. But that is something that we can – invest a little bit of hope in. Like I said, even my father pulled out his Confederate flag out of his barn and put it in the front yard as a result, as a response to all of this. So as we will be doing the same, as I have done at my house. So this is good. This is good. Hey, listen, they can take it down in South Carolina. They cannot remove it from our hearts.
Amen. They can't take it from our front porch either.
Well, that's right. I'd like to see I'd like to see him try. Hey, Ben, thank you for the call tonight. Hey, listen, always an honor to hear from somebody from Alabama, and I appreciate you putting adding that point to the conversation tonight. Is that yes, it's under attack, but also the people who know the truth are standing up, and you're going to see more Confederate flags in America in the coming week than you ever have before, because they're going to, you know, these people that are buying them aren't buying them, I feel, to put in their closet. They're buying them to do something with them in response to this abomination. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're going to continue to defend the flag. We're going to continue to offer talking points that you can share in your circles of influence. And we're going to continue to play these excellent clips from the movie Gods and Generals. If you haven't gotten that movie, you got to get it.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.